And welcome. This is Judith Conrad, and this is the Judith Conrad radio program. It is my great privilege to broadcast here today and to let you know the theme of the program today is happiness. Now, isn't that something that everyone would really, really like to have? I assume that that's true. And yet it's very elusive. It's very emotional, and for some, it may come and it may go depending on, well, I would say depending on poverty or prosperity. Sometimes that is a measure that people use. And I've selected a couple authors. We're going to be doing the same theme on Tuesday, Wednesday, and Thursday. My guest today is Thomas Price. And so we will be delving into happiness as I feel it is and how he feels it is. So we'll just have a couple of different opinions. And of course, you, the listener, we love it when you call in. As you know, we have Skype, and we also have an 800 number if you'd like to call in. Well, the first piece of information, well, let's see, do we want to go with the cards first or the definition? I'm going with the cards first. That's my favorite. So it's a four-card spread, and I use the tarot. It's a divination tool. That is my choice, my divination tool of choice. And with this, I always like to have you think of a question. You could think about happiness. What is a good question around happiness? And the question I like to phrase is, give me information about my happiness or our happiness or the happiness of the world, whatever you want to do. And then you could, of course, all four cards are for you. But if you want to pick one and let that be the focus, I always like to do that also. So I'm thinking my question is about the happiness of, let's see, of, oh my goodness, I always wait till the last minute and right on air I pick my question. So give me information about happiness of myself and my husband during the holidays, okay? And my guest is, of course, he's sitting here, Thomas Price, and he's going to be talking just a little bit later. So he's thinking of his question. And I'm going to think of question whether I'm going to pick number one, number two, number three, or number four. And I'm going to go with number one. And my guest is going to hold up his fingers whether he wants number one, number two, or number three. He's going to take number two. How about you out there? What number are you going to pick? Maybe Seth, who's listening, will want to pick a number two. Also, all right, so I picked number one, and the first thing around happiness, and mine was about the holidays, and we'll find out later what Thomas's was, and yours, if you want to call in. All right, so here we go. Let's look at my first card, the Knight of Cups. And that is, the knight is mastery. And the knight, of course, is the top dog as far as mastery in the emotional system. It is about going past your ego. Now, when you are into your ego, how can you be happy? Because it's, ooh, look at me, and you're not thinking about yourself or anyone else. And it's about coming into your own power. I feel happiness in this way is about coming into your own power and reaching as high as you possibly can. If you haven't set the bar high enough, you're going to be frustrated, probably bored. Now I'm looking at how high can I set the bar in which I'm willing to go for. And I'm just going to look at myself right now in and around my business. So with the Knight of Cups, how high can I reach in and around my business and in and around the radio program? What is the top and highest I could possibly reach at this present time? So that's for me. We'll see if Thomas has any comments on that. I always like other people's comments. The second card, excuse me, and that is the Princess of Cups, another emotional card. And that is, well, what is it you're open to receive? And it shows the princess is floating in the water because it's emotions, and she has a lotus in her hand, or not in her hand. She's let go of the lotus, which I see symbolically as let go, let God. Let go, let the higher power take over. Do not try to do the logistics because it's probably, remember, if you're reaching higher, You don't have the structure underneath it, or maybe you do, or maybe the structure is in your mind and not in the emotional system or not in that other level. Let's look at that. I know you're being supported if you're reaching higher, and this is about the ultimate transformation that I can think of let go and let spirit. Let go. Don't worry about your brilliance, because that's the brilliance is about coming up with that idea that's reaching higher. And what you're projecting out to the world is number three card, which is the Four of Cups, luxury. This is about a pink lotus, and the lotus is opened, which means your heart, it's pink, so that represents the heart. Emotionally, you're opening up to receive information about how happiness can come in. It is the moon in Cancer, and Cancer the Crab is about healing. It is also about the home. Whatever's going on around the home, it is about heart opening, and of course with the holidays. The veils are so thin during the holidays, and they're already starting to, because we get this feeling, I want to give, I want to give, I want to give. And that's why the media has really amped up to feed this frenzy. We don't need to buy everything. How about giving gifts such as maybe an hour of computer time, giving an hour of maybe cooking someone a great dinner? The final card is the Lovers, which is the Major Arcana, and it is a Gemini card. Gemini is the twins. Well, I see twins as we have twins out here, someone who we could pair up with, that we could help others. And this is a blessing that we do. In other words, find someone to do acts of kindness. Pretty cool, huh? So we've got four cards. One is reaching higher, go beyond the ego, reach higher, higher, higher. And then the second one is about letting go and letting spirit. You know, of course, logistically, we're going to also get that info. And then the third card is open up your heart. Let the healing happen if there's anything that where we're upset. And we'll talk about that in just a second. And then the fourth card is about finding our twin or our partner that we want to partner up with. Pretty cool. Well, this information I'm going to do today is about the 12 things happy people do differently. It's by Jacob Sokol, S-O-K-O-L. And I found that on the internet. So I just think it's pretty cool. So let's go with these 12. And I'm not going to go into too deeply, because I want to discuss this with you. Feel free to call in at any time, and we'd love to take your call. So number one is express gratitude. When I do that, it's like my heart just buzzes, because it is so, I'm so grateful. I don't think about ego. I don't think about anything else. Number two is cultivate optimism. People who are happy, they are able to transmute any negativity or whatever. They don't, and they, in fact, they manufacture their own optimism. Number three, avoid overthinking and social comparison. Have you looked at someone and say, oh, they're better than I am, they're more successful, blah, blah? Well, that's overthinking, and you're comparing yourself with the other person, and then there becomes a superiority and an inferiority that takes place. If you're feeling inferior, you want to make the other person wrong. Oh, well, they do this, they do that, and they don't do it right, blah, blah. There's a judgment involved. Mm-hmm. Number four is to practice acts of kindness. Somehow, when you're doing acts of kindness without the ego, without trying to get credit, the serotonin starts releasing in the brain. It has tremendous health benefits, by the way. It helps us feel blissful, and without having to get credit for it. It's like paying for, I always remember I did this one time, and this lady still to this day does not know that I paid for her radio time. She was going to go off the air, and so I paid for it for the rest of the month. It just made me feel so good, and she never, ever found that out. And it just, you know, I didn't need to have that credit. Or if you just drop something off in front of someone's door, and, you know, maybe a basket of fruit, and then you never have to get the credit for it. In fact, there was a group. There was a lady that used to live here, Kathy Young. Her son Alex was a senior in high school, and he and his buddies created this group for acts of kindness. And they would do, you know, they would go to McDonald's or one of the places, and someone going through the drive-thru, they would say, okay, the third car coming through, here's $20, pay for their lunch. I've seen people do that when you drive through the on the bridge in San Francisco. You go across the Bay Bridge, and someone would have paid for my ticket. Ooh, that was pretty cool. Well, now you'd need to have a bank loan to go across the bridge. No, that's just joking. All right, so that's practicing acts of kindness. That's number four. And number five, nurture social relationships. The happiest people on this planet are those who have deep, meaningful relationships, not the superficial. I mean, we have lots of superficial friends, people that we run into maybe once every year or every 6 months. The relationships we have, I notice here in Eugene, Springfield, they're deeper relationships. I can count on both hands and both feet all of the people that I have that I could consider a really good friend. And so you're nurturing these. That does not mean you go out for dinner with them. It's just that you're willing, if they need someone to talk to, you're available. The next one is developing strategies for coping. Yeah, you know, things happen. And what system do you have when these things happen? Somebody cuts you off. Well, immediately there's maybe you rear up and you want to give them the finger. Well, that's not too cool. And so if that's your way of doing it, is to have an immediate flare and then to let it calm. If that's the way you cope, then that's the way you cope. Some people use meditation to cope. Sometimes they use talk therapy. Whatever it is you're using, acknowledge that. And remember Forrest Gump? He would run and run and run. That was his way of coping. Number seven is learn to forgive. Oh my. Yes, harboring feelings of hatred is not good for your well-being. At Thanksgiving, one of my relatives said, you know, my daughter, you know, she remembers everything I've done. She has the longest memory and she does not forgive. I thought to myself, and I didn't want to say anything, that young lady is going to have a lot of problems. If you are keeping track of who does what, I mean, if you don't put enough, I mean, the situation that she mentioned was not enough pasta in the raviolis or in the lasagna. Give me a break here. You know, she's going to remember how little pasta was put in there, you know, and not to forgive about something so meaningless. I don't know, but that's not for me to judge. And there's another one. Don't judge. Number eight, increase flow experiences. That is being in a state where it feels like time stands still. You're so focused on what you're doing that you become one with the task. Action, awareness, they're merged. You're not hungry. You could just do this forever and ever. I think that's the way when I'm doing the radio, and when I'm doing my readings, and there are other situations, but those two come pretty close to the top. When I get to do my readings and I get to do radio. And actually, I do readings on the radio, and it's like it's combined recently. So that's a flow experience where you are so engaged. It's like, remember I talked about the twins, where you and the career and the whatever you're doing is one. The next thing is number nine is to savor life's joy. So you're slowing down. I mean, some people like to speed up, but you miss what's going on. How can you enjoy a sunset if you are busy doing something else and not just standing and looking at that sunset? I always remember when I was in Germany or someplace, when I would stop and I would look at the sunset. And then I'd look around and see if there was someone I could share that. And that was another joy. Because you can enjoy it by yourself. When you get to enjoy it with someone else, even if it's a stranger, you become no longer a stranger because you're sharing that wonderful experience. Number 10 is to commit to your goals. Now, toward the end of the year, we're coming into December, and of course, now is when I get a lot of clients. And this morning, what I woke up with is I'm going to help people out there create their soul goals. How cool is that? Not the mental ones. The soul goals, it's what in the heart wants to happen. When I'm connected to Source, when I'm connected to my angel, then I'm asking because my angels and guides have a higher perspective, or my higher self. We have a higher perspective when we're connected to the divine. When I do my tarot readings, my information comes out of my mouth that I had no clue, because I go into what I call the zone. And the soul starts kicking in and starts sharing. Number 11 is to practice spirituality. It could be spirituality or religion. That life is bigger than us. That God is above all, or Jesus, or whoever your higher power is. We are connecting to such a, that like I said, to the divine. Yeah, it's cool, isn't it? Because that will raise your happiness level. By practicing your religion, some people like to read the Bible. Some people like to meditate and connect with, let's say, Archangel Michael, or Archangel Gabriel, or Mother Mary, or Mary Magdalene, or any of the Ascended Masters. Saint Germain, if you're from Mount Shasta, hello all of you folks from Mount Shasta. Yes, Saint Germain, who reigns supreme there. Practicing that, spirituality or religion. Number 12, take care of your body. You could have all the money in the world, but if your health is not there, it's for naught. That would mean your mental energy, your mental, your emotional energy, your spiritual energy, and then the physical. That would be exercise. That would be whatever it is to take care of your body. You're putting good food in there instead of junk. The other day, I got something in the email. It was about wood products that have been pulverized, and the cellulose, I guess they called it, and put into many of your fast food restaurant products. I thought, and I think I mentioned it last week, I said, you know, I thought for sure that the fish sandwich would be okay, but guess what? It has it in there. How'd they get that in that fish? I don't know. Well, if you'd like to call in, we would dearly love to have you call in, and maybe you have a comment to make. And you have the number right in front of you. It's on my website, or if you're at BBS Radio, either one of those. I pulled this information from Jacob Sokol, S-O-K-O-L, and he has released Living on Purpose, an uncommon guide to finding, living, and rocking your life's purpose. And then it adds, he also loves his mom. Isn't that great? Somebody who loves their mom and freely says it. One of our friends, Rich Adams, I asked him permission if I could use this quote, cultivate optimism. Winners have the ability to manufacture their own optimism, no matter what the situation. The successful diva is the chick who will always find a way to put an optimistic spin on it. She knows failure only as an opportunity to grow and learn a new lesson from life. People who think optimistically see the world as a place packed with endless opportunities, especially in trying times. It's like the difficult situation that is fodder for new growth. It's like it's fertilizer to move forward. Thanks, Rich. I love it. You know, life is good, and then, as I said today, it gets gooder. Yeah, and someone said, well, didn't you used to teach English? I said, yeah, well, I can be fun. I can be funny, too, you know, because people realize that that isn't the correct word, but they take notice, don't they? I wonder which one of those cards you picked. It'd be interesting to find out. Yeah, it would be interesting to find out. So tomorrow, I will be doing the material again on happiness. My guest will be Jan Revelle, and she does angelic guidance sessions. And so we're going to be doing angel readings. Kind of fun, huh? So that will be tomorrow. And then on Thursday, December 1st, where did this year go? I'll have Dr. Bill Walter, and he is a naturopath. And we'll be talking about things that he does. But it all revolves around happiness. And what does he think? And what does she think happiness is? Well, I think we're going to take a break, and then we're going to bring in our guest, Thomas Price. So we will be right back. Take it away, Seth.
Timely tips on the Judith Conrad radio program. Judith is offering an opportunity to share your minute of how-to information every week on her radio program. The same information will be featured on her website. What a unique way to spread the word about your business, service, and about you. Call Judith Conrad for an interview about this marketing idea. 541-515-0610. That's 541-515-0610.
Get a coach. Here we are at the beginning of 2011, and it's time to jumpstart your life. Let's see where you are with the following questions.
Are your New Year's resolutions still valid? Are you procrastinating on your current goals? Are your goals meaningful? Are you ready to really commit to a quantum leap in your business and personal life? Want to know your life's purpose? Do you have a creative idea that needs developing?
If so, call Judith Conrad, a personal, business, and intuitive coach with 25 years of entrepreneurial coaching experience. She is a cut-to-the-chase coach who knows what's ahead. Call 541-515-0610. That's 541-515-0610.
What is an intuitive reading? Why do people come to an intuitive such as Judith Conrad for a reading? They are in crisis or chaos. They just know that there is more information that they can't put their finger on. They want to know how to fully utilize their potentials and resources. They want to slow down to receive answers. They want more tools to deal with life changes. They know that their ways of resolving their problems aren't working. They've lost control. They want to find relevance and meaning to their life. They are experiencing loss of homes, jobs, careers, relationship, love, loved ones, death, major changes. They want to know how to break out of the status quo. Judith Conrad can assist in this transformation. Call Judith at 541-515-0610. That's 541-515-0610. And check out the website at eugeneintuitive.com.
Well, welcome back. This is Judith Conrad, and just to let you know, I'm a coach for all reasons. That's the name of my business. And I do intuitive coaching, spiritual coaching, and radio broadcast coaching. I help you set unrealistic goals and help you with a skill set to achieve them. And I'm about raising the energy of the planet one person and one group at a time. And I call those soul goals. All right, let me bring in Thomas Price. Welcome to the program, Thomas.
Thank you very much.
I love your deep voice. That's great. You got a radio voice there.
Well, I've actually entertained that thought a couple times, but never actually manifested it.
Well, we can help you with that if you do. Okay, so Thomas, let me get a little background on you first, and then we'll find out which card you pick. You pick number two, and what that means to you in and around the goal or the question you asked.
Okay. Well, I'm not sure if you want the question first. I basically didn't really formalize it in a question, but one of my thoughts a lot lately is about success and happiness, and what that means to people is so very different.
It is.
And for me, I find where I find purpose, I find myself fulfilled and successful. So I'm about creating purpose. I'm about creating relationships. Quite often, people may not see by the smile on my face that I'm happy, but when I'm creating relationships or sharing nature, sharing the things I'm passionate about, that's when I'm at my best.
Very good. Excellent. That's wonderful. And you picked number two. What did that mean to you?
Well, I've been talking a lot with a gentleman in our community, and he's basically been encouraging me to open myself up to receive. I'm known as a fairly giving person in my community, and
yes,
I do a lot, but I've not been manifesting the receiving side of that. And he believes in a total gift economy. He thinks that there's enough in our economy and in our universe to provide for us, which I do believe that some to the intellectual side. I know that I'm always taken care of, and that
right,
we always have more than enough, especially in this world in the U.S., we always have plenty.
We do.
So I've never really been one who's wanted, but at the same time, in this economy, my own personal type of work is one of those things that people can put off, and so they don't take care of some of the things they should be taking care of, and especially around their businesses. So I've been giving more and more of myself, yet getting less and less. And he says that I need to open myself up just to receive more.
Very good. Very good. I'm sure the people out there listening are, maybe you know Thomas Price, I don't know, but I'd like to have you look at yourself, most of all. How many of us do this giving, giving, giving? And because we're giving so much, the part of the cycle, part of the circle is to receive. And so what I recommend sometimes is stop giving. I mean, totally stop for just one day, because I know it's difficult for us, for the people who give, and just allow the receiving. And once you start noticing how the universe provides, it's pretty cool.
Yes.
All right. So that's your assignment.
Okay.
I always like to give, you know, the ex-school teacher always likes to give homework assignments. All right. Tell us a little bit about your business and what you're about.
Well, my business is known as Safety, Health, and Environmental Works Worldwide, and the acronym that a lot of people laugh about or sometimes chuckle anyway is, if you take safety, health, and environment and just take and make an acronym out of it, it spells SHE. And I actually chose that on purpose because many people in the industry call it environmental health and safety. It's the way to get away from the SHE, having to deal with that subject.
Right.
But I feel that our world, whether you want to go to the Gaia or to the SHE, Mother Earth, all that, that plays a part in the way I look at things. I look at things with a big picture worldview. One of my taglines is a global perspective in a finite world. I try to bring that global perspective to what it is we do in this world. And I'm fairly Native American in my own person. I'm from a Native American lineage, originally from Northern California, born. And I see the cycles of life, the circles of life that are in many of the tribal influences. And I process things that way. I look at how will these cycles or these circles influence each other. And in business, we have a fiscal cycle. We have all kinds of, you know, you take a look at a business plan. When they run into trouble is usually when they call me. When they've done something that's outside, and they didn't plan in the outlier of this environmental regulation that came down the way, or some accident happened. Well, it's not that the accident happened that is really causing it. It's not seeing the cycles in their business and how this accident was actually out there all along. We just didn't see it and plan for it in our business cycle. So I try to help people when they come into these conflicts, look at what was it about the way we're doing business that we could do differently and not have the big expenditure of the, you know, injury, the loss, the, a lot of times I deal with the regulations related to OSHA or LRAPA. Right. And so those are the times I get brought in, but mostly I'm trying to bring them back to, it's a business cycle. And if we look at the cycles and how they interact with each other, we can usually see, I mean, you use divination as your way of seeing. Well, I kind of see those things in the world and in the environment. And so I try to help people see those bridges and bridge those gaps before they actually come into.
Before the crisis comes in. So some of the, you know, we don't need to know the names of the businesses, but what are some of the, you mentioned accidents, you mentioned OSHA. So you are able to look at the cycles based on your experiences and to see what potential, and do you help write the business plan for people? A lot of people want to do it ahead of time, or are they more into crisis management?
Most of they engage me for crisis management. I know how to get the fines reduced. I know how to get all the impacts mitigated. I do a lot of corrective action plans, but I also work on things. Right now I'm what's known as a climate master. So I actually look at your business and how its carbon footprint is impacting the environment. I help guide you into plans for reducing that impact, or if you're planning on expanding your business, how to mitigate those impacts. And
making it green, in other words.
Right. I help them evaluate Green's the simplified term, which kind of oversimplifies a very complex series of issues, but yes.
You know, one of the things is when I belong to a couple of groups where Thomas is, and I said, you know, I still don't understand. And when I don't understand someone's business, what do? I bring them on the radio so I can ask deep questions about, and of course, we're focusing on happiness. And so does this bring you happiness when you get to help plan ahead of time, or do you like the crisis management?
Well, what really brings me happiness is when I can raise the standard of understanding or care is what. I was a county regulator in Northern California at one time, and you can go out and regulate people, and they're like, yeah, you're here to help, right? But what I found out is through education and through sharing information, usually, I was able to raise people's understanding of what the hazards they were dealing with, and through that, raise their standard of care.
Uh-huh.
And now I've been doing that for over 20 years in the sustainability field as well, and I think we're at that place where we need a new vision. There's no leadership out there to really cast that vision. And so right now what I'm looking for in the next year is to try to be able to be one of those leaders that cast that vision. Because I studied the recycling. I was one of the first people that turned over dumpsters and started talking about all the stuff that we had in here and how they were actually natural resources.
Right.
Back in the 80s. We're into 2000.
You're right. Ahead of your time.
We're still doing the same things and patting ourselves on the back for it. We're at the point where we need to have a new vision of what does it mean to be green and sustainable? How do we manifest that? How do we care for our communities? How does business need to raise us all up? And that's what I've been about this last year, actually 3 years, is trying to get people to understand it's through that community effort that we can raise ourselves all up.
What I was talking about, raising the bar,
yes.
That's what you're about, helping people understand, you know, the sustainability and how your business can, you know, that's our direction where we're going.
And it's important for business to actually understand. It's really important for them to survive and them to think forward thinking instead of just so much in the moment. And so many businesses get stuck in the moment because they're good at making that widget or whatever it is they make. They know how to keep running on that treadmill or whatever you want to call it, they don't look often to the future. This is the time, especially the time of year, to be taking a step back, saying, what am I doing here and how is it going to be impacted by my future? What's around me that's going to impact my business? Those are the kind of things I like to look at, and those are things that I feel like can have a positive impact on other businesses by helping them see their future, see where they should be heading, how they should possibly change course a little bit just to keep being more sustainable, more forward-thinking, and more a benefit to themselves and the community.
Well, again, we're talking about happiness, and if you can help them prevent crisis, I think that will bring a heck of a lot of happiness. So as you're doing this now, this will be a perfect – now, I'm also getting, you know, with business plans, they have to take on a different flavor, smack, whatever you want to say, whatever word there is, because I think the business plans we've had up to this point are so limiting, and they're not fun, they're not sparkly, they're not forward thinking, you know, and they're just kind of thud. That's what I get when I look at a lot of people, because I'm kind of starting to do my version of how I can help them with my intuitive. And most of them just are bored with a business plan. They don't want to write it. They don't want to be visionaries about where their business is going. How can, if you're not excited about your business, I mean, sometimes it's reflected in the business plan, but you got to write something down.
Yeah, you got to write something down. You don't always have to have it be numbers and words. Right now, you know, there's a lot of people out there that do these mind maps and vision boards, I think is what I'm actually heading for. You know, just take some pictures of your business and then cut them up and then reform them into, you know, something, you know, go look through some magazines or something that's related to what you do. And where do you want to see yourself? What do you want to see your business look like? Give yourself some kind of visual to work back from.
Okay. Well, and I'm going to challenge that one. Because I did a vision board that class not too long ago, and my plan was that everyone would not bring pictures in. They would, because I do a system where I have people, I have fast music, and they sit there. First of all, I put them in a meditation state, and then the magazines come out and they rip pictures out of there, and they can look at words. They don't have to just rip all the way for 20 minutes. Then they put the pictures there and they put the magazines away. Then they put different music on and they start cutting it out. Words on one side, pictures on the other. This is a visionary process. So this is what spirit wants, not so much what the intellect wants. And I found that when people really get into that, in fact, I always do it too, and things will show up on that thing every single time of the direction my business is to go and what I'm about.
Yes. I'm not sure if I think you're actually more in alignment with what I was trying
probably
to say. The big thing, I found it even when I was back in college, an early drawing class. I loved to draw when I was young, but I had never actually taken a class, and I was forced to to get graduation credits. And I had a professor that just basically saw how I was very much structured in the way I drew. Mm-hmm. And, I had taken a little bit of drafting in high school, but he basically required me to just let go of everything and just try to draw as fast as I could.
Good.
And did a few different things, and I found some really great joy in producing something that I would have never even thought would come out of me, mm-hmm. And, some art that was released out of skills I didn't even know I had.
Well, that's that intuitive part coming in, the left brain is the analytical part, and that's the part that does, you can have both going, the right brain, left brain. Analytically, the left brain writes the things down, and the right brain brings it in, we were talking about the mind map or the vision board. And so you've got the right brain, left brain, and then you've got a nice balance.
Yes. I don't always structure things that way, but I do like it when I get reminded of that and allow myself to just do some of that free thinking.
Right, right. And most people, some people think it's frivolous, that isn't important, but yet, you look at any of your CEOs that created a business, most of them are ultra creative, and when they started out, they used that part. They had a vision, yeah. And then they put the foundation under it, and then kind of the foundation took over, and all of a sudden, where did the vision go?
Yeah, no, we need more visionaries right now, especially in our society. I think one of my frustrations with what's going on with the university is we have a somewhat visionary president who's been pushing against the boundaries of bureaucracy and has now come up against a wall there. But we need more visionaries. We need more leaders. And right now I'm ready to step forward and start some of my leadership for this next year.
Right.
I hope there will be other leaders to join me because it's that time of year. There's a power shift that's going to happen, and I know that I'm going to take part in it, because if you don't take part, you just receive what you put in.
That's right. So the receiving for you then is to allow your creativity and your leadership to step forward.
Yeah.
There are many. So I'm just looking at that first card then with the Knight of Cups is to reach higher. And that means, for me, it's about stepping into your leadership capacity and your power. Because a knight is sitting on a horse, which is power, reaching for the Holy Grail, which is, what is it that I'm best at? What is it where my happiness, I'm happier doing this than I am anything else. And I believe you are a leader and the one who can pull things together.
Well, thank you.
Yes. All right, let's continue on with this conversation about happiness and how you can implement this. So, Thomas, you're on. What else did you find when I was talking about all these different 12 categories?
Well, I like the soul goals. That's a new term that I hadn't...
I just came into me today, and I'm going to run with it.
I haven't processed that, but I've dealt with goals throughout my life in many different forms. But being a very spiritual person, I've never connected the spiritual side so much with the goal side.
Really?
Yeah, and I know that I've got a very sensitive, caring heart and a very focused that way, but goals and structure have always been not as fluidly connected, I guess.
Really?
So I like that because it kind of connect in the word itself, or in the two words that putting it together,
yeah,
it's automatically connected.
I've been seeking that. And when I started, a lot of my listeners already know this, when I started working with a personal resource system, which is an organizer, I sold it and I taught people how to use it. Well, the main premise of that is, what is the purpose of what you're doing? If you have a project, you can't manage time, but you can manage your projects and your activities. So you first find out, what is the purpose of doing this? And then out of that come the goals, which are specific. And out of that comes the scheduling, and out of that comes the action. See, most people take action, then they try to figure out what, you know, it's just the reverse.
Right. Especially with the other stuff I do, it seems more appropriate. I kind of, the whole big picture idea of looking at things big picture and then focusing in on individual things to kind of fit them within the big picture.
Uh-huh.
It's like, why wasn't I already doing this? The... I don't know. There's a lot there, and I'm not sure if I've got it fully processed, but it seems like it should have been part of the process all along. I know I took Franklin Covey's stuff first.
Oh, yes.
First, and I mean, that very much had it fit in my head and reason,
right.
Made reason, but it wasn't something that I internalized and brought into my spirituality, mm-hmm. I guess.
Therefore, looking at purpose and out of that, and what does your heart say? What does your heart want to do? In other words, it comes out of the time that you spend internally with your guides, with your angels, or whatever, you know, with God. And in nature is the most perfect place to observe nature of what's going on. When I sit and look at the McKinsey, I mean, especially when I drive a little north towards Bend, it is so inspirational because, you know, you got all those negative ions go in there and you're sitting there and all of a sudden ideas start popping. It's just like popcorn. It's just, woo, I got too many. And so that's why I always take a paper. And when I don't, I always regret it because I have so many ideas. And I used to take a 3-mile walk around the reservoir in Lafayette, California. And ideas would come so fast, and I had this little piece of paper, and I always would stop and write and look at the birds and see what. And when I'd see something, it was like a signal, or see a cloud formation, it was like that was affirmation that, yeah, you're right on.
I really appreciate that, because in the past, I grew up in Northern California, Mendocino County, and I was very in tune with the outdoors. It was basically most of what I grew up with, and it's part of why I process things the way I do. I see the big picture. I see the interaction of the streams and the wildlife. For me, the whole going through college and learning about the web of life and all the interactions between the animals, it's like, well, yeah, you guys didn't know that already.
Right.
I grew up knowing that. Anyway, but there was something about going from that globally connected, nature-connected youth to going through college, going through business life, that I've kind of gotten disconnected a little bit. And one of the things I've been doing in these last couple years is connecting with a group called Circle of Children, which the whole idea is to bring back some of that connectivity with nature.
Yes.
And helping not just kids, you know, a lot of, I think, our problems are that we're losing connection. Even though we've got an environmental movement and all these other things, we still continue to lose that connectivity with the natural, the what we're part of, I mean, what we came from. And so, yeah, I got to where I would do retreats to recuperate and rejuvenate myself. So I would, you know, retreat to the nature, but I wouldn't actually do my processing of the stuff in nature. I would try to, I'd end up separating my worlds more.
Excuse me.
Yes, I know.
That's why you're here on this radio program.
That's what I'm getting here, you know. And so, yeah, I would bring some of it back with me.
Mm-hmm.
But why not just process it out there? I'm actually more connected with the seeing ability, or, I mean, you might call it a seeing eye. I understand it out there when I'm in nature. I was one of the ones that, growing up where I did in Mendocino County, when I went to the Bay Area, people would always be surprised how I would find a stream. I would be in Oakland.
Oh, really?
Full of, you know, concrete and everything.
Oh, yeah.
And I would just take a walk, and I'd find a stream. You know, I'd find somewhere that was nature to connect with, because when I was down there, it was just too much asphalt and concrete.
You bet. I lived there for a long time until 2002 when Spirit says, you're out of here. And then I went to Mount Shasta, of course, in Northern California, yes. where all nature, sometimes too much, with snow and all that. However, you know, connecting with the mountain and the energy of the mountain and the streams and the and all of that, I think that helped me connect more to Source, to Spirit. And that's part of what I do in my business, is connecting to Source and helping people to find that connection. And I'm finding part of my, you mentioned the Native American, I'm finding my tribe here. I have friends in San Francisco still area. I have friends in Mount Shasta. Here, I have so many friends, I just can't get over it. Mm-hmm. My tribe is here.
Yeah, and I think we need to manifest that tribe wherever we go.
Yes.
And too often, our world likes to have us either be on the internet or be at our work and be at home and not, I mean, that's the way our society is driving us more and more towards. And really what we need to do is kind of break free of that and connect in those tribal elements,
right?
Whatever that is for you.
Well, it could be the circle. In fact, I'm starting a class with Soul Goals. And it's in, you know, of course, I teach meditation. So in meditation, of course, the goals come out of that instead of writing it down. In fact, one of the first exercises that we do is I put the music on and it just drops you into a trance. I love it. And then when you come out of that and your mind has already brought some, like dreaming, then you start writing it down. And if you get blocked, then I say, give me that pencil, put it in your opposite hand, and now you write. Have you ever tried that, Thomas?
A long time ago, more on the art side, but yes, it's a good idea.
Automatic writing, and it brings through the simplest. I mean, it's sometimes too simple, and because I know, Thomas, you like to make things complicated sometimes because you're brilliant.
Well, I hope I'm not trying to make them complicated, but yes, trying to get my complicated things that are going through my head out to some people.
I know. Write it down and see how can I say this in the most succinct way that it cuts to the chase and it comes from the heart and it comes from that right brain, which is so active. And yet I, up to this point, until this session right here on the radio, I now see your right brain, which is so active. And it's, I see it today just over far larger energy than I do the left brain.
Well, I feel like saying thank you.
That's a compliment, by the way.
Yes. I don't know. The funny thing in me is I strive to connect. I mean, in my heart is very connected. And when I don't make those connections, I think the opposite of success is not making the connection that I was meant to make. Uh-huh. And, you know, that when I find those things, it actually hurts me, my heart, more than any other time, because it's like the whole reason I was there, the whole reason I was putting myself into this situation or out was because I cared about this person and they missed that whole, you know.
Right. And sometimes it's timing. Maybe at a later time, this is a time when you're going to be able to be with that person. So I never judge whether it was that time or maybe a later time or never.
Yes. You always have to trust the universe is bigger than you and it's got its own timing as well as
it does.
Will manifest what it needs to happen.
Yes, right. And I just see that side of you so active here. And you pick number two, which is letting go and letting spirit come in and direct the direction you're going in. And how can I make that deeper connection with that person? And sometimes it isn't through the business. It's in another way that is important. And by the way, out there, don't be shy. If you feel like calling in, we'd definitely love to have you join the conversation. Again, you can come in on Skype or you can do the toll-free number or you can just call on one of the other numbers, several of those, 530. We're broadcasting out of Paradise, California. And, of course, we're in Eugene, Oregon right this moment broadcasting. And, of course, that's part of Springfield, which is our neighbor city. We are partner city with that, and we have Chamber of Commerce and, of course, a lot of other networking groups here in the area. I belong to, I think, everyone I can find, and it's always about relationships.
Well, we'll have to have you this coming first Wednesday of the month to Green Lane.
I went there one time.
Yes, you have.
Yes, I have. Just the one time, and I think something was conflicting. And for the rest of the year, I think there's something also conflicting. But after the first of the year, I think there should be something that, you know, we can get there.
Well, first Wednesday of the month, lunchtime over at the Boulevard Grill. You're always welcome.
Thank you very much.
That's Green Lane Sustainable Business Network.
Very good. Say that again.
Green Lane Sustainable Business Network.
All right. So we've got a lot of networking groups here. And one of the organizations that I really admire, and that's Lorraine Kerwood with Next Step Recycling, keeping all of this, the computers and electronics out of the landfill.
She's one of the founding members of Green Lane, yes.
Really? I just admire her so much in the work she's doing. I mean, she's getting – you talk about global.
Yep.
Somehow, she. What is the secret, do you think, that makes her so in tune with everything?
Well, I think she's got her community around her. I mean, I remember when I first moved to town, I found out about her through a group called Care Alert that I was a program chair of. And we started funding her when she was early in her garage.
In the garage?
Yes.
Yeah, somebody else we know did that.
helping her, we set aside some of our budget to help her get some flyers out when they were going to make the move to the Polk Street site. And she continues to have that great energy. She's always on purpose for trying to help others.
Mm-hmm.
And all of us recognize that. And so all of us come around her and support her. And
right.
There's been many of us in her life that are just fans of her.
I know. And there's a quality. I mean, she has that inner drive, that inner happiness. So we kind of been dancing around happiness, but we're getting there, you know. She has a quality that makes us want to help her.
Mm-hmm.
And how do you describe something like that? Someone who's got the magnetism that you just can't wait to do something.
Well, it's so funny. It's not about her, but it all attracts us to her. Her focus isn't really her. So,
that's
you know,
right.
She doesn't try to manifest her own, celebrity.
Right.
She's all about the community, all about her business, getting it moved forward because mm-hmm. she understands its purpose in the world.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that there might be a lesson for all of us out there, you know, understanding how what we're doing is has that bigger purpose.
It does. And that we come right back around to that right brain, which is what is our purpose? And out of that come the soul goals, and out of that come, if there's going to be scheduling, then you put it on the paper. You know, everything goes on paper somehow because otherwise it stays in your brain.
Yes.
And that's where it is. Well, we're coming down to this hour went so fast. We got a couple minutes, so I'd like to give you a minute or so to just shout out or say what you'd like to say here.
Well, just to kind of culminate on what you were talking about, writing it down, the power of the spoken word and the power of the written word, I think, are very important. Success is where opportunity meets preparedness. And so if we don't write it down, or if we don't speak it, we don't get ourselves prepared for that opportunity that's coming that will create that success and create that happiness. I believe in reciprocity, and I believe that we should all look for those ways to give and then receive. And Right now, I'm focused on opening myself up to receiving more because I've been the giver.
Very good. You get an A for the class.
Thank you.
All right. Anything else?
No, I thank you very much. I appreciate your energy and your constant smiles. And every group I go to, I can always see Judith smiling over there when I approach her.
Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Well, thanks for being on. And tomorrow I'll be back on again. We're talking about angels, and of course the theme is, again, happiness and what does it mean to you, and we'll be doing more divination tools here on the radio. And gosh, I don't know, I'm just so blessed. I have such gratitude and all of these things that we were mentioning. I looked and I kind of gave myself a scale of 1 to 10, where am I in taking care of my body? Well, maybe not as high as I could be. Well, practicing spirituality, yes, I do that every day with my tarot cards. And commitment to my goals, yes, because if I'm really using my soul goals, and I got to get that registered so that I can use that as my theme, because it is. It's such a, when that clicked together, I just said, whoa, that's really what I'm about, because I can operate from there. And being happy, you know, Life is good, and I just want to say, I want to close now. I want to remind each and every one of you out there that who you are makes a difference.